Come here. Get off.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Turn On. Today we are reading Let Me Free You, which was published in 2018 by Alexandria House. Get your wine, get your weed, get whatever you need, and sit back, relax, and enjoy.
That's right. Welcome back. Really? Welcome back. Welcome back.
We're going to have to break her from this, y'all.
Let Me Free You by Alexandria House. This is nice. I didn't know there was a Sable Inns resort here, but I'm glad we're staying in a Black-owned establishment, Neil shared. I nodded, eyeing a huge bed. Yeah. You tired? You want to lay down for a while, take a nap? It's been a long day, he asked as I took in the rest of the beautiful suite. No, I'm good. I'm not really that tired at all, I replied. Really? Yeah, but I need to take a shower. I'm really grimy after all that dancing. He plopped down on the bed and fell onto his back. All right, I'm gonna take one after you. In the huge glass-encased shower, as I closed my eyes and let the hot water beat against my skin, I told myself that whenever this sex thing went down, if it wasn't good, I'd be okay with it. I mean, sex wasn't everything, and if he didn't annul my ass, he'd done me a huge favor. Shit, he didn't really even know me like that to be marrying me. I mean, after all the pussy, time, and effort I put into my past relationships, none of those niggas had met me at the altar. Assholes. And the chief asshole was Gavin. This motherfucker has said some horrible stuff to me when I asked him to marry me. Some stuff that really messed with my head and had me feeling like I was subhuman. And when I cried about it, first I felt a draft, and then I felt the heat of his body and my eyes popped open. Spinning around, my eyes widened and I stuttered, what? Neil. I don't know why I said that. Maybe his fineness was messing with my brain because he was naked, and good Lord, this man was fine as all hell and heaven and everywhere in between. Were you expecting someone else? No, I thought you were going to take a shower when I was done. I ain't in here to take a shower. My eyes dropped to watch him stroke his nice, long, veiny dick and then shot back up to his face as he said, I'm in here to fuck my sexy-ass wife. My yoni started throbbing as if it was dancing to a high-octane club banger, and my hands began to shake. Moisture collected in my mouth like I was a lion staring at a gazelle in a Serengeti, and through no will of my own, I grabbed his face and pulled it down to mine, kissing him with the fervor of a woman who'd never seen an exposed, erect penis before. He backed me up under the showerhead into the wall, and despite the fact that I knew without a doubt I was messing up my hair, I didn't stop him. We kissed wildly, passionately. No, passionately is too weak a word because this nigga actually bit my tongue and my lip, and he was growling while squeezing my breast, and I liked all of it. Hell, I loved it. He ended the kiss, and as my chest rose and fell rapidly, he planted one hand on the shower wall beside my head while using the fingers of the other hand to explore my yoni, parting my lips to find my clit. He rubbed it, holding my eyes hostage and biting his bottom lip as he slid a finger inside me, making my knees buckle. Then he kissed me again, slipping his finger in and out of me while circling my clit with his thumb, gradually increasing the speed of his fingers until it felt frenzied. There was more than one finger inside me now. Two? Three? And he was touching a spot that felt different. Some uncharted territory inside me that made me feel good and uncomfortable at the same time. Hella uncomfortable and hella good. He had me feeling like I had to pee and come simultaneously. It was confusing in a wonderful way. Oh, shit, I yelled into his mouth. My entire body vibrated with a feeling that was alien to me. It was like I was having a damn global orgasm. My scalp was tingling. It felt like heat was enveloping me, and electricity shot through my body as I shuddered uncontrollably. He grabbed me with his free hand to keep me from falling as the other hand continued to assault me. Yeah, baby. Feel it. He kept saying, his deep voice coarse. Feel it. What the fuck was this? I mean, it'd never been hard for me to orgasm, but this shit? This was beyond an orgasm. This was spiritual. And it went on and on and on. When my body finally came down, I collapsed into his arms, and I swear on everything, I think I passed out. I woke up naked and in the dark, lying alone in the bed. At first, I lay there staring at the ceiling, then felt eyes on me and turned to my left. Neil? I couldn't see him, but I was sure he was there. I'm here, baby. I felt my body relax at that reassurance. How long have I been asleep? A couple of hours. Damn. A G-spot orgasm will do that to you. That plus the long-ass day we had. That's what that was? I thought that was some coochie hoodoo or something. I could have sworn you put a sex hex on me. He laughed. Nah, baby. You never had an orgasm like that before? No, never. That was crazy. Good, but crazy. Did you get off too? No. Oh, you didn't want to? You blacked out. I'm not in the business of having sex with unconscious women. That makes sense. So you just been sitting there while I sleep? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sage? Yeah? I like to eat your pussy. Shit. You would? Yeah, I want to taste you. Damn. Knock yourself out. I ain't gonna stop you. With a chuckle, he left the chair, and in the darkness, I felt him pull the covers off me. I opened my legs for him, squeezed my eyes tightly shut, felt his tongue flatten against my clit, and hoped he would and wouldn't do the G-spot thing again. I mean, I wouldn't have minded feeling it, but I wasn't trying to spend my entire honeymoon unconscious. My honeymoon. Ain't that some shit? He moaned as he worked some more of that coochie hoodoo with his tongue. I whined, wiggling beneath him. He licked and sucked me into an orgasm pretty quickly, then lifted from me and asked, "You always come that quick?" "Yeah, most of the time." Shit. Then he was in my face, my scent on his breath as he kissed me and then hovered over me, his eyes burning into mine. "I love the way you taste." "Thank you." "You still good with no condom like we discussed?" "Yeah, we know each other's status, traded results, and I'm on the pill, so..." Shit. He was inside me with one quick thrust, taking advantage of my orgasm-induced lubrication, and a little whimper escaped his mouth. My brow furrowed as he stared down at me, pulling back and sinking into me again. "Damn, baby," he mumbled. "Shit, you feel gooder than a motherfucker." I closed my eyes and tried to hold the orgasm that had literally started building on contact, but I couldn't and was soon contracting and spasming around him. "Neil," I screamed in my daddy's voice, my daddy's Liberian voice. Shit, he was right. "Shit, yo, I'm not ready," he screamed, sounding panic. "Oh, damn, I'm sorry, it's just so good." He shut his eyes as if he was concentrating and kept going, grunting, moaning, whimpering, and kissing me as he worked my pussy like a damn physics equation, rocking in and out of me as orgasm after orgasm rolled over me. "You making this hard for me, baby," he grunted. "I want to stay in this good motherfucker, but I can't hold out any long..." Oh, fuck. He stiffened and grunted as I felt him grow and pulsate inside me. And then he collapsed onto my body, breathing heavily as he said, "Goddamn." As I awakened the next morning, the first thing I was aware of was his arms around me, and I smiled, snuggling closer to him and breathing in his scent. He felt and smelled so good, like a dream. But he was my reality now. He was my husband. I heard him moan a little as he adjusted his body in the bed and loosened his grip on me, rubbing his hand up and down my back. Grand rising, baby. As my smile grew wider, I replied, "Grand rising, Neil."
Welcome back. We just heard an excerpt from Let Me Free You, which was published in 2018 by Alexandria House. This story is an excerpt from a larger book, and the book is an excerpt. Well, the book is a part of a much larger series called The McLean Brothers. So, Kareen, can you give us a little bit of background on this particular book?
Sure. So, this book has two stars. The guy's name is Neil McLean. He's one of the aforementioned McLean brothers. And it opens with him getting out of rehab. So, you know, we find out that, you know, he's been going through it. He's been boozing and all of this stuff after he came out of his last relationship. He didn't really want to deal with the emotions of it all. So he numbed himself with substances. And so now he's trying to make a new start. The book is really cool because it alternates chapters, like a he said, she said kind of a situation. And so the she in the book is Sage. And Sage is an immigrant from Liberia, and she has just found out that she's being deported and has to go back home unless she can figure out a way to stay in the United States. And they end up, their friends bring them together, and hijinks ensue. Yes. A bunch of sex and marriage ensues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So Sage, as I walk us through this excerpt that we read, one of the first things that stood out was that Sage said she previously asked a man to marry her.
Yeah.
I know you divest yourself of the patriarchal bullshit.
I do.
But what do you think? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about a woman asking a man to marry her?
I don't have no feels about it one way or the other. I mean, shit. If you feel so moved that you want to take the first step, I think the thing about it that feels scary, and I think it would probably feel scary for me as if I were a man too, is the amount of vulnerability that it takes to ask somebody to marry you.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel like, well, I am very traditional in that sense. If you waiting for me to ask you to marry
you,
we ain't never getting married. Yeah, like, no, you're the man. You kill bugs. You take out trash. You asked me to marry you. But now that you put it like that, I do think it does take a level of vulnerability. And I remember hearing guys talk about, you know, being nervous that they're going to ask a woman to marry them. And I'm kind of like, but don't you already know the answer?
I mean, apparently not, because bitches say no all the time. Like, remember that clip that was circulating on Twitter where dude proposed to the chick in public and she was like, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, what ended up coming out later was that he had been cheating on her.
Yeah.
And that was like his last ditch. Oh, manipulative ass. Let me do this and maybe she'll stay with me. Bullshit. And
well,
thank
God
she saw through it and was like, no, but like,
that's a whole different.
Yes.
Ball of wax.
True.
But I mean, even, you know, like, we're together. Mm-hmm. We're in a good place.
We've probably been talking about it.
Right. I mean, if you're smart, you didn't went looking at rings. I mean, I also feel like that's a big step when you just buy a ring. But anyway, I mean, I guess you kind of know the person, but.
Yeah, I don't want to pick out my ring. You know what kind of ring I like. So if this nigga's smart, he gonna talk to you.
I do.
Bitch, you supposed to? I felt like we had this conversation before. I'm going to have to send you pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I would just...
You know, I'm real simple. No, I just want to... Listen, let me say it now, because he be listening to the show. I'm real simple. I like a solitaire. I don't want no extra stones. None of that.
Yeah,
just
I would say that.
A nice rose gold band and a beautiful, bright diamond. That's it.
Yeah, I'm trifling.
Conflict
so
free.
I would have definitely, gone, like, was this sustainably sourced?
That's right.
But also, I would have definitely gone for the rose gold. Mm-hmm. But see, that's, and it would have been simple. I'm a simple gal, so I wouldn't have wanted you to have a whole bunch of extra shit.
What?
However,
she's
I definitely would have been like, big. What does she want? Big and bright. The brightest, clearest, biggest one you can get. So
I don't need to be big. I don't want to be like, remember that the ring that Gucci Mane bought, what's her name?
Keisha Keys. We know we're not there, right?
I'm just
we know
saying,
we're not like
that shit's scary. I don't want nothing that I feel like exactly that I oof, that's I
yeah.
No judgment. But nah, I don't want nothing crazy.
Yeah, I don't need nothing that big.
Yeah. Like. But just simple stone. But anyway.
Okay. Well, where the fuck
we're saying that you should have already had some conversations, but I still feel like Like, even if you think about the other milestones that come in a relationship before you get to the point of that, like having the I love you conversation, like you can feel it all day, right? And you can know it in your bones that you love this person, that that person loves you. But it's still scary as hell to leap off the cliff and say it the first time.
Yeah. I'm not.
Why are you looking like that?
Because it's not for me.
Which saying I love you?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's no big deal. But if I feel it, I'ma say it.
Really?
It's not like a scary thing. Because if I feel it, I'ma say it. And
yeah, you
and,
know, I got all these vulnerabilities.
Yeah, I'm
because
like,
I work really hard at being
because
vulnerable.
Also I don't when I say it with the this is how I feel about you, mm-hmm. not expecting.
Right, you don't have to. Absolutely.
To hear it back. I mean, it would be nice, but at the same time, if you don't say it,
I'm not going
like,
to be crushed. Or
yeah, I'm not
going
to be crushed. Now, if I done said it and then, you know, four, 5 years down the line, you ain't said it yet. Well, shit, I ain't going to get that. But,
right.
you know, like if we get down the line and you haven't said it, then I'd be like, what's going on here? But,
right. but then,
know,
then that's another conversation.
If I'm the first one to say it, I'm just going to say it. And that's probably, I don't want to say part of my problems in relationship, but I definitely.
I don't think it's ever a problem and make your, be able to make yourself
vulnerable.
But you
also don't want to put, now that I think about it more, you don't want to put pressure on someone to feel like they have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like if you were rocking with me, if you love me, if you know me, you know that
Eric's
going to say what the fuck's on her mind.
Right. True.
Be like, you figure that you sort your shit out. So, yeah. All right. So you're
whoever can get up the nerve and feels confident and wants to be the one to push the situation forward, I'm all for it. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to put myself in somebody who identifies as a man's shoes to say how I would feel about that. But I also feel like if that would make you feel a way that a woman would ask you to marry them, then maybe you're not ready for marriage.
I just feel like, I mean, I wish I could sound eloquent about it, but no, you're a man.
That's not what you want.
You supposed to ask me.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. What's the difference between you being the first person to say I love you because you're feeling it and you want to do it, and you being a person to say, you know what, I like to marry you because you're feeling it and you want to say it?
I mean, it's probably no difference, but again.
Well, no, there is, though, because you're okay with one but not the other.
I have, you know, I'm still holding on to those, to that bit of, you know, whatever was beating in my head as a young child. Shout out to Granny. Rest in peace.
Hey, Granny.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you kill bugs, you take out trash. And you asked me to marry you. I mean, and again, we probably will have had that conversation. I mean, when I got married my first and only time around, we had the conversation multiple times, you know, and it was just a matter of when it would happen. And I think it got to a point where it was like, I knew it was coming and looking around a corner every minute, you know, so.
Yeah, that was fun.
Whatever, bitch.
It was fun. We planned the whole situation.
We went to get ice cream one night, and we were like walking back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "This is a nice park. Let's sit down." I like sat down and started hyperventilating. Like, it's happening. And then he was like, "No, it was just nice. I wanted to sit down." But anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, I'm still old fashioned. But I mean, I still hold on to a lot of that because I am very much if you my man, I'm going to cook you a meal. You know, that is still part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I don't want to say it's kind of against who, like some of my other views.
Don't judge yourself.
Yeah, but it's just part of one of the layers that make me a complex little piece of baklava. I was going to say onions, but they stink. So,
but they're so good. So
baklava's good.
I don't think I think I'm probably allergic to.
Yeah. There's pistachios in
it. Yeah. Nope. Can't have that. When I got married, engaged, whatever, it was
a decision.
Yeah. Well, because remember, so I was Ira was telling him about a friend who was here on a student visa, and she and her partner were planning to get married, but not soon enough. And so they just went to the courthouse and got married so that she'd be able to stay in the country long enough for them to go through, you know, do the whole thing that they already had planned. And he was like, we should just go do that. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, I had a marriage license. And then a couple of days after that,
I was taking a train up to the city.
Exactly. And then I was married. There was no real ask. It really was just like, okay, we're going to do this. All right.
Do you want an ask in the future?
I do. Yeah, I want an ask. And that might be part of the vulnerability part, you know, like why it feels like because of the way that it happened before.
You know, we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about just romanticism and how so often we want to be the cool, the easygoing, the
cool girl.
The cool girl, you know? Yeah. And so it's like, I don't like flowers because I'm the cool girl. No.
I don't like Valentine's Day.
Love Valentine's Day. I want big ostentatious displays of your affection for me and make it happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's great that you're honest with yourself and saying, no, I want an ask.
I do. I don't know that I want a big public thing that feels a little, even though I would say yes, if it was, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I would
show it.
Yeah. But I don't think I need that whole thing.
So we'll scratch Nat's ballpark.
Oh, God, that sounds terrible to me.
Yeah, we'll scratch that off. But we will make sure we get
just something romantic and sweet and that is and thoughtful that actually seems like it's about asking me and not just any person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do want that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet. Okay. So, let's get to the nasty part of the story. Bitch. He growled.
And bit her.
Like,
and I was like, yeah, spite.
Yeah, I like, when she said growling, I was like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about when you're having sex with someone, like, I enjoy someone talking shit, but like, just being in it, like, looking in your eye, growl, like, yes, growl. Oh,
where you can't, like, it's clear they can't contain themselves, like, being able to hear and see and feel that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you grunt, growl, moan?
I am a moaner. I am loud. I am not a, I am not a we finna do this real quiet in this space. Because I also get, when I'm in it, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Let's go.
Yeah.
So there's very often a pillow that is handed to me.
Shut up, bitch.
And I'm like, don't give a fuck. Let's do this. Yeah. I'm a all of the soundser. Yeah. I'm pretty fucking loud.
Well, your nickname for this episode is Sounder. It wasn't that
like
a dog.
Fucking dog.
Yeah, it was like old yellers, like.
But it was
ABC
black. It was
cousin.
No, it was like.
Oh,
the,
okay.
Yeah.
We fucked that. He's the real old yeller.
Yes, exactly.
He's the OG old yeller. Mm-hmm. Fuck a old yeller. I think I make noise. Yeah, I make lots of noise.
Same.
Yeah, but it's more just a like. I work out.
So you'd be sore?
No, but it's one of those, like, when you breathe through, you know, like, when you do yoga and they're like, breathe through the stretch. Like, I am, like, breathing through the action. You know, like, shit, you gotta, girl, some good breathing will get that.
Oh, it'll get you
get,
there.
Yeah, get
absolutely.
That orgasm from your pussy to your toenail.
Will. Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, I'm a... Oh, fuck.
No, I
can't contain myself. I'm screaming. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I make noise like that, but it's a lot of like, which is so weird because when I'm in yoga and they like bend over, now breathe through it. Like,
that's what it sounds like.
Fucking, yeah.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. That and macaroni and cheese. you remember that someone was like, good sex sound like you stirring a pot of macaroni and cheese?
Oh, God.
So, sex with me sounds like
both making
doing yoga
it and
over,
eating it
over a pot of macaroni and cheese. Have you ever blacked out during sex?
No, I've never blacked out during sex. However, I'm usually super unsteady after. Like, try to get up, bitch, hold on to this door frame.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, depleted.
I don't think I've ever blacked out. I thought it was really cool how he was like, I'm not really cool with, like,
fucking an unconscious woman. Yeah. Like, I was like, thank you. Consent.
And I thought it was great that she wrote that in there.
Yeah. And that they had a quick conversation about condoms as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, we will always highlight those kinds Absolutely. Of things because I feel like that makes it adds to the authenticity of it.
Yeah.
I've never blacked out during sex, but I have definitely had, like, such powerful orgasms where I kind of, like, see stars. I'm like, mm-hmm. wait, hold on.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Yeah, where you just feel kind of dizzy.
Just kind of like, I mean, yeah. I guess you could. I mean, like, I've blacked out, but not, like, collapsed out, woke up 3 hours later, what happened? But just on some, like, whoa, shit, hey.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, wait, I can't, I need a minute. Like, I can't keep going because they didn't come yet. But I need a minute.
Yeah, don't touch me. Don't touch
before
me.
I can, or you might. Yes.
Yeah.
Before I can do this again. Absolutely.
Was it because of him or something you were doing?
I mean, I like to think of it as a dance. So,
yeah,
a little bit of both. Like, it's usually a combination of, so, like, it depends on the position because I have different types of orgasms, obviously, depending on the position.
Uh-huh.
So, uh-huh. like,
eyes in the back of my head thing.
So, like, it'll depend on the position, how much tension I'm able to, like, get going in my yeah. limbs, because that's really key, how hard he's holding me.
Mm-hmm.
If I can yell, because I actually find that when I have to suppress Starful. My mm-hmm. sound, the orgasm is not as intense because I'm literally keeping myself from feeling the full complements of it because I can't react to it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So when there are no children in the house and I can just yeah. let loose, I find that it is a stronger orgasm.
Yeah.
So it's like a combination of things.
Yeah.
What about you?
I've never thought about, yeah, I'm not really fucking with my kid, you know, like yeah, yeah. In the house. Crib. Yeah, yeah. So. Ooh, yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. It is a compliment of it all. I mean, I'm pretty good at, like, making it happen. I'm mm-hmm. pretty good at just, oh, I'm coming today.
Yes.
But the blackout ones, yeah, it's a combination of everything that has gone into it. It's typically mm-hmm. also after, like, just a ignorant, I'm about to tap out round of foreplay, where it's just like, whoo, I can't take this no more.
Yes.
And a dick coming. Whoop.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
The blackout orgasms are usually complemented by a nigga growling in my ear.
Okay. So I have recently discovered mm-hmm. that my ear is a big, like, I never, like
you licking know, it or like
talking in it.
Yeah.
Real uh-huh. close. Uh-huh. Where I can fucking feel the breath.
So I can feel your hot breath in my ear. Oh my God.
Yo, I had never, that was never a thing I had ever done with anybody. And that is something that my partner introduced like a month ago. And I can't, sometimes I legit be like, yo, you not allowed to do that tonight. Like, I can't take that. I'm not allowed to be as loud as I need to be tonight.
I was going to say, how you going to stop that man?
Because, God, it's so yeah. intense.
Yeah.
In yeah. concert with everything else that is happening.
See, there is nothing. Can't. There is nothing like just Oof, minding fuck. Your business.
Oof.
Cooking, doing something, minding your business. And a nigga walking up to you, grabbing you by the ass and whispering something nasty no. in your ear. Like, hot growly yes. in your ear. Oh my gosh. I'm like, fuck that spaghetti.
I had never experienced that before. And now it's like, oh my God. Such a simple thing, but it takes things over the top in a really good way.
It's really cool how you're yeah. like realizing new what is it? Erogenous zones.
Yes.
Androgynous.
I mean that too. at this ripe age.
This of ripe mine. Age. that is why we're here. Yes. This is an exploration. Mm-hmm. So we ain't doing it right if we're not learning new things.
It's true.
So there was this part in the story where she talks about Alexandra does a great job of describing like all the different senses that go into a really good session.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I gotta pee, but but I don't. And you know, like all the little bits of information feeding into your brain.
Yeah.
And what that feels like in your body, like she does, did past sense of did, which is the super past sense of did, which does a really great job of like just adding to the sensuality
and putting you right there.
Yeah.
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 And connecting it probably to a past experience, right? Because you can remember, I remember when I felt that thing.
Yeah. Because you're, especially with someone, because I think. For me, what stood out about this scene with the two of them is that she was just so surprised. I mean, because she seems like the type of woman, the way it's written, she seems like the type of woman that knows her own body and knows what to do.
Yeah,
and how
especially
to
because
do
she
it.
Kept saying that she comes quickly. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, you got some, you know, because that's most people, that's not really a thing. It takes a while to be able to get to that point.
And she knows how to, what to feel and all of that, but he tapped into something different and was able to make her feel good in all these different ways when she was like, I'm uncomfortable yet loving it and wanting it but not wanting him to do it again,
like and it was their very first time having sex.
Yes.
Yeah. Which again, not a common thing. Ooh,
what?
So have you ever, like, the very first time you had sex with somebody, like, had it be like some UC Star shit, like the first time? Like, how common is that for you? Or does it usually take a few times of getting to know each other's bodies before you can get to that?
Generally, yeah. My current partner, like, it is the first time it was like, oh shit. Part of it could have been, part of it probably was because we are at a distance, we're long distance, so we had to do a lot of talking. And so he already knew what I liked and I already knew what he liked. And so we kind of came in with crib notes.
Yeah.
But even with that, it was just like, you know, and man, I feel like some guys really know how to put effort into pleasing their partner.
Yeah.
And then other times they swear they know what they're doing and it's like you were just stabbing at my pussy, you know? And I feel like this, my partner like knew, like it just, it was a dance and we both knew each other's situation. And so the first time it was like, whoa, like this what you doing, this is pretty fucking dope. And I do find that, I hate to sound, well fuck it, it's hard if it's not good from the beginning, then
it's hard for you to want to go back to
it's hard for me to want to go back. And I mean I'm not saying it has to be seeing stars, but I'm saying that it's gotta, there's gotta be some sort of like rhythm. I mean, it's like, it's like
it can
dancing.
Be awkward, right? If it seems like y'all can't at all, y'all not listening to the same song, then maybe you will never be able to listen to the same song.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna listen to that song again with you for the, you know, like I'm good, because dick is abundant and low in value. If your dick ain't working right, it's with me, then there. I can go back to the steaming pile of trash
dicks.
Shake another dick off and let's see if this one works. What about you?
Typically, especially, you know, in the last few years, it's been good out the gate.
Do you think it's more you knowing your body or
I do.
Just getting better. Your picker has gotten better.
You know, I think it's a combination of those two things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I am much better at knowing what it is that I like and being able to vocalize that. Because mm-hmm. I think sometimes you can know what it is, but not be able to express it. And whether it's because you don't have the vocabulary or because you are somehow not able to assert yourself in that way. And I don't have that problem. I'm just picking better people to have sex with. I'm looking at the red flags that come up before that tell me that this person is a misogynist or this person is awful in various ways, and mm-hmm. able to know how that's going to translate to us fucking and able to back out of that situation before it gets there.
Because also trash men, are also a lot
sometimes
of times
they serve good dick.
Some of them serve good dick, yeah. But some of them are just trash lovers because, again, it is they're a selfish. Give and take. It's like it's more than just you getting off. It's mm-hmm. you know, are you listening to how my body? Do you hear my breath quickening? Do you hear the right. oh shit? Like, you know, just mm-hmm. listen and go with it. And if you're self absorbed and right. narcissistic,
then it's gone.
My good Midwestern tongue. Sorry. 9 times out of 10, you're not listening for those context clues about me giving you some. Right.
Or you are, and you're narcissistic and you're super manipulative and you're able to hold it up because you can hold the mask for a little while. And then that shit falls.
Yeah.
And it's revealed that it's literally all about you. You just did enough to get me hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, my current situation, right out the fucking gate.
It was
great. Wonderful. Right out. And it's great because we both enjoy it so much. We work, and honestly, I'll be honest, he works more than I do at bringing new stuff in all the time. Because,
You're like,
I'm like, this is great.
I got this book to edit. So.
Right. Yeah. But he's really good at introing new shit without telling me until I feel it. And I'm like, oh shit. The fuck? It's a nice surprise.
That is, if we're going to have to dig a little deeper into that one in another show. So, Sage, our protagonist, I'm going to learn the right words.
That's her name.
Our main character.
Protagonist is good.
So Sage, one of the things I also really like about this scene is that she comes a lot before he comes.
Yes, ma'am.
Unapologetically. Yeah, she's like, yeah. And so I come quickly too. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel bad for men when they be like, he come quick. I'm like, I too. Like, why are we going to be mad at him? Like, I'm literally like, was having sex with this dude the moment he put it in. And I was like,
had there been a bunch of foreplay before that?
There was like an ignorant amount of foreplay. Okay. I came multiple times during foreplay.
Oh, yeah.
And then the minute he stuck it in, I was like, I ain't got it no more. Like,
oh, wait, so then you took your ball and went home?
No, I did not. I did not. But I was not playing ball as aggressively as I could have been because I was just so... Because
you already got yours. He was tired. You was spent.
Girl, I was... The reverberate was the olfactory period.
Refractory period.
I'm like somebody grandpa with these vocabulary terms. Defractionation periods. Anyway, it was just so bad. So I love the fact that she came multiple times mm-hmm. before he came. Yeah. And the fact that he like enjoyed
getting
her there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't at all about, oh, well, you know, I need to get mine. He just was very focused on her coming. And I liked that when he was like, I want to taste you. She was like, well, shit, I'm not going to stop you. Like, it wasn't like, oh, well, you know, you already did me.
Who am I to deny you your desires?
I mean,
I am a bad bitch after all.
Why Let's go. Yeah, I appreciated that.
Happy wedding.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the big themes in this story, and I actually find it funny, is that this guy is a hotep.
Yeah.
And to me, hotep is a derogatory. I mean, like, in the traditional,
we
what
know
it's
it
meant,
means peace.
Yeah.
Listen, we know what the word means.
But as a woman, as a black woman in the Washington, D.C. area, with a short natural hairdo. I attract my fair share of hotels.
Yo, same with this afro.
Like, I remember I went out with this guy and we're at like some restaurant and he looks at me and is like, you don't eat pork, right?
I was like, based on what, my nigga?
Is a, what? I am from the Midwest. I personally feel like it is doing my ancestors a disservice if I don't eat pork. So, I was like, how you just gonna make that assumption? But it was, you know,
based on your hair.
It was a hair. Mm-hmm. And so I have dated my fair share of hoteps. In the story, I find it really funny that Sage has no problem calling Neil a hotep.
Several times. Like, yeah.
You a hotep, right? What y'all do at hotep land? Where'd you go to hotep school?
It felt very authentic in that this is an archetype of a man, that I think most of us living in metropolitan areas as Black women have encountered at some point or another. Yeah. I really appreciated that because I had never seen him in print before.
And I think that Alexandria did a really good job of making him not full hotep.
Yes. And also just not one note. Like he's got a lot.
Yeah. Because even when they have the are you a hotep conversation, he was like, I mean, can we not use that word? Yeah. Because hotep is,
he's like, people tend to have this negative thing about it. And I think that some of them go way too far.
Exactly. And he was like, I don't like the negative women stuff, you know? And so I thought it was really great that that was a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So have you dated?
Bitch, you can't even say it straight because you already know.
Have you ever dated a hotep?
Yes, I have. It was terrible.
What was the moment that you knew you were dating? Like, what was your, like, I mean, because the thing is, you probably,
I'm about to say some ignorant ass, but
okay, so the thing is, we all know that we're dating we've dated hotels, but what is a moment where you look into the camera and be like,
this nigga's a hotel.
I'm dating a hotel.
I mean, a shady answer is the first time you say a library.
I was like, oh no,
we going to the library. Yeah, no, honestly, it was when he started talking to me about polygamy.
And he literally looked into the camera and was like, this nigga hotel.
Yeah, like, about how our lives could be easier. And he tried to give me a book from the master teacher, Malachi Z. York.
Was that the guy on the cult episode? Yes. Yeah, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Which I did not realize at the time. I was green as fuck, and I wasn't from New York. So I didn't know that this was like a whole, like the Nubian Nation was like a fucking cult. Like, I didn't know any of these things. I just thought he was eccentric. But then he like started bringing books home and like legit trying to talk me into this. I mean, eventually, I guess he was trying to bring me into a cult. But
he was trying to talk me into this cult, bitch. Cult. You know, and the thing is, like, I think.
So perhaps my situation was extreme.
But you said, like, he was eccentric. Like,
yeah, I didn't take it seriously. So I was, you know.
I think that there's always this balance between, you got a guy, he's got his thing, this is a little weird, but whatever. I mean, you know.
Right. And I didn't know.
My man will probably be like, yeah, my girl sits in her closet with her best friend talking about dicks once a month. You know, so everyone has their thing that we don't quite understand, and so you try to respect it.
Exactly.
Especially when you love someone.
Well, and also I was in my 20s. Like, not to say that we're dummies in our 20s, but I didn't have a lot of life experience. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. Like, when I first met him, he was talking about metaphysics, and that should have been my clue. But I had never heard the word hotep at that point. I didn't know any of the markers and signs to look for. I didn't know that misogyny is often a huge feature of these men, where they are very pro-Black, which is awesome, but that oftentimes what creeps in is that they are anti-woman. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of these things. And I learned over the course of a relationship that moved much too fast, that those were things that for him, at least, were a huge part of his outlook on life, and that they were obviously going to impact me because I was in close proximity to him.
Whew,
yeah. Girl. And then, so then, of course, once I was, you know, back out on the market in more recent times, like after, you know, being married, being divorced, dating again, going to therapy, doing the man sabbatical thing that we talked about in a previous episode, when I was finally healthy and able to come back to dating with a frame that that was not codependent. Mm-hmm. And actually had some concrete things that I was looking for and that I was not looking for, I ran smack dab into Hoteps. Like, as soon as I got on the apps. But by then, I knew what to look for.
Yeah, because I think Hotep men are attractive initially. Because it's this like
the
veneer of, you know, I love black women, yeah. I love black people. And you're like, oh my gosh, finally someone that appreciates me mm-hmm. for the things that I, you know, like.
That
the,
you've gotten derision for before.
Exactly.
Yeah. They love your short hair. They love your natural hair. They love your dark skin. They love all these things, they say.
Yeah. But they don't love everything.
No.
That's about you, like,
or anything that feels
like
a challenge
about
to them.
Sucking dick, and it's right. Okay. I like wearing pants, and it's okay.
I like not sharing my man,
and that's okay. If you do, that's great. Find right. you that person, exactly. But that's not for me.
And I mean, that was what I always used to say. I was like, this is not what I signed up for. I was like, I don't have any problems with polygamy as a or polyamory, any of those things as a structure. I think that they work for some people really well. I was like, but that should have been a conversation that we had way in the beginning.
You can't throw polygamy on my. That's like, I mean,
that's not what I signed up for.
You throwing I don't eat pork on me. Okay, great. I'll figure something out. You saying let me bring in another wife is a whole different story.
Exactly.
If that's not what we
agreed upon to begin with. Exactly. Yeah. So that was always my thing. I'm like, if this is what works for you, you should find somebody that wants to live that life with you and go be happy.
And you know what? I think, and maybe we'll just put a pin in this and delve a little deeper into it when we talk about polygamy and polyamory. But I think that there's a correlation between that and hotepness. Mm. But I think that
the polygamy part of it, not the polyamory, because you can't fuck other
exactly.
people.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I think you run across some hotep men that are all for multiple wives and these, you know, thruples and all of that. But I think that gives
the only
true
dick in the equation.
Polygamous and polyamorous people a bad name, because from what I'm learning, and I am not learning, you know, I'm not like, you know, mm-hmm. in the lifestyle or whatever, but from what I'm learning, like, polygamous and polyamorous relationships take a lot of
communication and
sacrifice.
Honesty. Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't think that quite jives with like hotep men in the sense of what we're talking mm-hmm. about. So
yeah. I would agree from what I've experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. So we gotta, I'd like to
delve into that one day,
dig into that
yeah.
a little deeper. Is there anything else about the story that stood out to you?
No.
Okay, well, that is it for this episode of The Turn On.
Wait, y'all. So y'all can't see her nails. I've been sitting here looking at these hot ass, hot pink nails.
Oh, these are my hoe pink nails.
Bitch, they are beautiful.
They're a little short. I definitely like, I've realized I like long dick grabbing nails.
Okay,
they're short just because I got a lot going on in my life, and mm-hmm. I need like to be able to
use my hands
and not in a dick grabbing sense, mm-hmm. but they won't get cut for a while, and I definitely think I'm gonna stick with this. This is like Barbie hot pink.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
I love them.
I gotta show Munch because I know she will
appreciate.
Quick story. We're all on vacation at dinner. Her daughter looks me in the eye and is like, I want to let my nails grow, but my mama won't let me.
See, I'm sitting right here.
She said it like this disrespectful one.
I'm like, you still in single digits. Get away from me.
Okay, anyway. So that wraps us up for this week's episode of The Turn On. Thank you so much for joining us. These are your hosts, Erica and Kimria, two hoes making it clap. This episode was produced by us, Erica and Kimria, and edited by Ballistic. The theme song is from Brazy. First, please leave a review in your favorite podcast listening app. For real, we want to hear from y'all. Send your book recommendations and all the burning sex and related questions you want us to answer to theturnonpodcast@gmail.com. And please subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at @theturnonpod and Instagram at @theturnonpodcast. And find links to books, transcripts, guest info, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com. Bye!